Hello, and welcome to another episode of Beyond the Bookshelves, the Scott County Public Library podcast. I'm Ariel.
I'm Inyo.
And this week, we are diving into all things programming with our youth service manager, Roseanne, and our adult service manager, Melissa.
Good. Thank you.
Hi. Thank you.
Hey, welcome. It's not like you've never been here before.
Right. Yeah, both of you, actually.
So, first question. Since you both manage separate parts of the library, when it comes to programming, are you the only person who picks and chooses events for your department, or are there other people that kind of help you with that?
Well, for us, it's pretty collaborative. We have different contacts with the public, and sometimes the public will suggest a program to one of our staff, and they bring it up, and we're like, hey, let's try to do that.
Oh, that's nice.
And so it's very collaborative in that sense.
In the youth services department, we have five of us, and we all kind of specialize in different programming. So Christina will do babies and toddlers programming, and Kelly's always come up with stuff for tweens. Yolanda's always coming up with more art programs and crafts and things. And I take care of preschool and summer reading and making performers. And Lauren takes care of the teens. So we each kind of specialize in a certain area so that we know we're covering all the different age groups for each week and each month. And that kind of works out really, really well.
Yeah, we have some specialties, too. We have people who are specialized in art, or they like to do performers, or they do writing programs, or whatever it is. So we try to kind of fit the program to the staff member who's most interested in it.
And I know, Melissa, you just said about possibly like a patron suggesting a program.
Yes.
That's really cool. That was one of my questions, actually, that I wanted to ask later. Do you have an example of one, possibly, that comes to mind? If
yes.
not, it's okay. But I just think that's so cool that if
yes.
you have an idea.
For example, we have a military history discussion group that came about from a patron who came to a historical program that we had and said, hey, you know, maybe we could have this. And we're like, well, why not? So we put it together. It's been very popular. And they have speakers that come in. They show movies sometimes. And everyone's welcome to come. It's not a registration thing. So
that's so nice. I think one's coming up, actually. I think the next one, if I'm not wrong, is in February.
Maybe. I believe so.
Awesome. That sounds super.
We have the same thing goes on
really?
In children's as well. We had years ago, a yoga instructor came and said, hey, I work with the schools. Would you like to do a yoga story time at the library? And she's been with us for many years. And we've had performers come in who were just local residents and patrons who live in the neighborhood. And they're like, hey, you know, I also do magic on the side, or I also do art on the side. Are you looking for a magician or a singer? And so that's how we've gotten some of our most favorite recurring performers, is because they're in the neighborhood and they offered their services and they wanted to give back to the community. And we were more than happy to welcome them aboard.
Yeah, I love that. Like local people, local mm-hmm. artists, it's like all supporting each other. I just love that so much.
It really is a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and beyond just our regular programs that we do, I know we partner with some major players. And a couple of them that comes off right off the top of my head, obviously, is the Holocaust Museum that mm-hmm. we just had.
Mm-hmm.
That you partner with the Holocaust Museum in D.C.
Exactly.
Wow. Which took a lot of work.
Yes,
right? That's a big deal.
And for youth department, I remember specifically with science.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The Louisville science.
Yeah, science. And that was just massive. And I think the total count of attendees were over thousands.
Yeah, 14,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Just
3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
So those are some major, major players that we seek out. Mm-hmm. To do these wonderful programs for our community. And, you know, you only hope that they can, they hear about it and they come and be part of it. So I think we're doing fabulous job.
Yeah, big things happening at the library.
We also have a lot of partnerships with local groups as well. And that's really our bread and butter, honestly. And we want to keep those relationships going. The Extension Service, for one, they provide the seeds for our seed library, for example. They bring speakers to come and talk to us. Bluegrass Care Navigators bring speakers in to talk about medical issues. And so there's this constant partnership that's always kind of flowing between us, which is Very important.
The youth department collaborates a lot with homeschool groups where we do special story times and database research classes. And we also partner with the schools, like we're upcoming with our author visit from Richard Cowdery. We're also partnering with Garth Elementary and Lemons Mill to help bring him to those two schools that wanted to partner with us for that. So we do lots of partnerships with all sorts of PTA groups for special programs, and also the special needs classes at the various schools have a partnership with us. They come in for special story time and for field trips that we can provide for them when they really need it. So it's great to be part of a community that values our contribution. Absolutely.
Well, as a matter of fact, we're getting ready to have our gallery opening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
That's very exciting.
Yeah.
Just.
Can't some wait. Really good art out there. So I'm really impressed.
We have some talented kiddos.
Yeah.
So next question on this list, it says, on average, how many programs does your department offer each month? Oh my gosh.
Just like a guess. a lot.
Children's says like, about 8 or 10 per week in the summer. So maybe 30 a month.
There's something for everyone. Just I think that's what I wanted the point to come across.
20 something.
I would say even more than 20.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like even more.
Between book discussions and yoga and Tai Chi and those that are kind of recurring and writing programs. And then we have all the extras that are thrown in.
So. Yeah, there's a lot.
There's something for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Just list like some reoccurring programs that we have at the library that tend to do well, that just keep coming back. I don't know. I just wanted to share that with people.
Well, I know Roseanne has quite a list, but it's nearly as long. But we do have 3 book discussions that rotate around. We have a novel idea that meets the first Wednesday of every month at 5:00. And then we have a horror book club that meets the last Wednesday of the month at 6:00. And then we have Book Talk, which is our it's been going on longer than I've been here, and I've been here forever. And it meets every 6 weeks on Fridays at noon. People can bring their lunch.
Oh, that's nice.
And Novel Idea and Book Talk actually meet next week. So you can kind of start your calendar going forward on that. We have a writing group that meets the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month at 3:00 called Memory Keepers. It's become sort of a general sort of writing program. It was supposed to be memoir. It still is memoir, but we have fiction writers now that come and offer their writing.
And it's been going on critique. A long time.
It's been going on 11, 12 years.
Can they bounce off ideas like with other?
Yes, it's good to get some feedback.
Sometimes. Yeah, of course.
So those are just some. And then we have...
I know there's Tai Chi.
Tai Chi and chair yoga and mat yoga.
Lots of ways to move your body.
Lots of ways to be healthy.
Yeah.
So those are sort of our recurring things for sure.
And I feel like you always have something artsy or crafty going on.
We do. There's always art programs going on. There's an art club that has now started to meet just recently every month.
That was pretty popular.
So, kind of sprang. Again, that one sort of came from the public.
Really?
These were people who were coming to the art classes. And they're like, can we just get together and
club?
Bring our own stuff and work together?
So
they were like, sure.
Yeah. So, I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I have to be remiss if I don't mention Possibilities Unleashed, which has been a long time community partner for us, providing the Books and Best Friends Read to the Dogs program. It's the first and third Saturday of every month, and it's at 2:00, 2 to 3. It's free, and it's for little kids to bone up on their reading by reading to our furry friends. And it's a fabulous program. It's great for kids who are maybe, a little afraid to read around other kids. But if they're just reading to a dog and snuggling on them and loving on them, and they don't judge. They're just there to love and to snuggle you. And it's been a longstanding, it's been running longer than I've been here. And I've been here almost 15 years. So it's a fantastic program. That's the first and third Saturday at 2:00. But I mean, we've had baby story time and toddler story time for over a decade, and babies is 9:30 at Mondays and Tuesdays, and toddler is 10:30 Mondays and Tuesdays. Preschool story times every Thursday at 11:00. And we have our Creative Kids, which is our weekly after-school craft program with Yolanda at 3:30 on Wednesdays. And that's for, you know, ages 5 and up can come and do a creative artsy craft thing. And since a lot of homeschoolers come to that as well, if they don't do art classes, this is a free art class that they can come to. So it's a great opportunity for kids to just, you know, be creative, and they don't have to be, doesn't have to be made exactly how Yolanda or I or any other samples are made. They're just going to be creative and do their own thing. And we have lots of, you know, other programs throughout the year. We always do a book party around Halloween on a theme. And, you know, our dinosaur tea party that we do every year is always a huge hit. And, you know, so, the longer we're here at the tween programs, we've had RPGs, the role-playing game class for the tweens. We've had science and STEAM programs for tweens on just about every week during the school year. So all of our programs, you know, we try with new things that'll entertain and just be fun and different that they don't normally would do, you know, every day.
That's awesome.
And, you know, we just talked about this before we came on the air. Story Times is a repeated program every week. Mm-hmm. And you would think that people would be tired of of us promoting it, marketing it, and doing it. But as we discussed just a few minutes ago, you had 12 new parents mm-hmm. that showed up for this program. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why we have to keep doing this. Because there literally are parents and families that that didn't know anything about these things.
Yes. So, as one group of kids ages out of preschool story time, the next group ages in, and we have people moving in from all over.
Yeah. And this town is growing so fast. And there's people who know nothing about us.
We are so happy to have all these new families join us.
I'm kind of guilty of the next question we're about to have. It says, how far in advance do you plan out your program?
3 to 6 months now.
Mm-hmm. At least.
Yeah, I've just finished planning out June and July for summer reading, and I'm still waiting for performers to confirm and contracts to roll in. But I think we have a good idea of what we're doing, and we've got lists of things and programs we're tinkering with that we might want to do just between us and the performers we wanted to hire, who I've contacted. So I'm working right now on April, May, June, July, and August.
Same for the adults. Time.
Yeah. Melissa's doing the same thing with the adults.
And some things even further out. Yep. Georgetown's 250th anniversary is all next year. And so we're going to be planning programs to go along with certain themes for each month. And so I'm already thinking ahead November, December, which is when it kicks off. So, you know, some things that we can do. Yeah. So besides the summer reading programs that we do all get together and toss ideas out and then just see where we could plug them into the calendar. Where would that fit? Where would that make most sense?
Yeah. I feel like you guys have probably already answered this somewhat, but I guess I was just curious about your selection process for programs. Is it really just, you know, when a patron has an idea or if, you know, a coworker has an idea, you just kind of shoot it out there? Or do you have a process or, I don't know, a way that you go about selecting certain programs? I know, like, you know, there's national holidays or
seasonal things.
Anything else that comes to mind?
Well, I'll be honest. We are thieves, and we will go to other libraries, and we will totally steal their ideas. We will, of course, make them better because we're us, but we will totally do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we'll hear of a trend of something that's happening, and it's like the silent book club that came about, because that actually had a patron came up and said, hey, have you heard about the silent book club? Mm-hmm. No, how does that work?
Yeah.
And it's a big thing in Lexington. So we're like, hey, let's try it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that some things just kind of come about naturally that way. Or we'll read about something and the thought process starts turning. Summer reading is always a good one because there's a theme.
Oh,
so we all shoot emails back and forth to each other. Hey, have you thought about this for summer reading, or you thought about this for the fall, or I heard about this performer? And then somebody comes back, oh, I'll take that on. I'll do that one.
Yeah.
And then when we have our meetings, we'll discuss as well and start kind of giving assignments to people. Research heraldry for me or something, you know,
yeah.
whoever, whatever the topic may be. So
Yeah, and the summer reading stuff.
This just kind of grows.
This summer, the theme is color our world. So with color as a theme, it's so much fun. You can do everything from art and just colors and, you know, all sorts of things with that. Yeah, and in the children's department, we also have fun. You know, if a new Sonic the Hedgehog movie is coming out, we may do a Sonic program that, comes on that same week to kind of tie in because they're Sonic books.
Yeah.
Or, you know, if a movie is being made of a book, you know, something like The Tale of Despero, we had a whole, big program about that when that book came out as a movie. And so we try to, encourage reading the books and visiting the library based on other things that are going on out in the world too, so we can tie in things like that. And sometimes we just have someone who comes in and was like, oh, you know, I hear Pokemon is making a resurgence, and this was a few years ago when the Pokemon Go came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and, you know,
that's a big deal.
We were like, well, I guess we need to have a Pokemon program. Mm-hmm. So, and that was a huge hit.
I bet.
So sometimes you just have to go with what's out there, and if you can tie it to a book.
That's even
better. Yeah, I feel like most times you can. There's so much in the library. You can always tie it to a book.
Yes, absolutely. Or a book character.
You know, yeah.
When Bluey became the hottest little kids preschool TV show, not only did we purchase more Bluey books, but we had to have a Bluey party.
Yeah.
So, and that always helps to promote our collection of books, but also provides a great programming opportunity. And it's kind of an easy tie-in.
Yeah, it's good for people to remember that, yes, while we are a book community, we all love reading books, we're more than books.
Right.
There's so much more that can jump off of a book and go in places and directions you never even thought about.
Yeah.
And information and knowledge that you could gain that who would have thought of going to the library for that?
Right.
We've never not been important to this community.
Mm-hmm.
We have always been supported by our community. Our patrons always come. I mean, even, you know, we're reluctant to close for bad weather because we know that there's going to be someone at that door that's going to need internet or, you know, to have a notary or to grab a book. And we know that we are central to our community. People always, if they have a question or they need something, they think library. And we're so blessed that they think about us as part of their, you know, their daily life. So.
Yeah, I would definitely echo that because we've always had the support. They continue to come. I'm always amazed. We'll have a program. I think nobody's going to come to this. And we'll have 50 people show up. It's just kind of shocking sometimes.
Yeah.
But they have always cared about us as well. And they want to, how can we help you? Can we help you find something that we're interested in? We've had people bring us ideas and contacts and help facilitate, and because they want to help share knowledge with the rest of the community as well.
Yeah.
So it's really become kind of a big family with not only us, but the people that come in our doors every day.
Yeah.
So, and that really hasn't changed in all the years I've been here.
I guess to go back to, because I know this is about programming and we've kind of like dug into a lot of different things, but has programming, like how has it changed? Or is it not changed? I don't know, because so many years. I'm just curious how
it's tripled since I started here.
More of it.
Maybe there's a lot more options.
Right, exactly.
To do at the library,
But because we have more staff to do more.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know it. Well, I wasn't here when there's an expansion now. So there's like a big area for. Like Meeting Room C, is that new? That was new with the gallery, or am I mistaken?
It was
2016.
We had a community room, but it's a lot smaller.
It's a lot smaller. See, we have that really big space.
So it's a huge space.
Yeah.
It's so flexible. You know, you can have a couple of things going on in there.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that expansion was the community needed more meeting space, more study rooms, and requested that when we were, floating about the idea of an expansion. And so we tried to meet the community's needs.
So I was just curious, you foresee any challenges with programs moving forward?
I don't know. Roseanne probably has a whole different take on this because she serves a very specific population. But the adult population can be a little challenging.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge difference between emerging adults and seniors and their interests. And finding programs that fit both those needs and try to keep that balance is always a challenge. We want everyone to feel welcome here and everyone to feel like they have a part. And so, you know, sometimes the younger folks are, they're working, they're busy, they've got other things going on, and we're competing with, you know, more exciting things going on in the world, I'm sure. So, you know, that is a biggest challenge, is trying to bring in some of those younger folks and like, let us know what you want and we'll see if we can meet that need. But
yeah, because an adult is like, I guess, technically 18 or in my head, it's
to 100 to plus. So, there's a lot of difference. It needs and expectations and interest levels. So, that's always a challenge. But it's a fun challenge. It's nice to put your head on and start thinking.
Challenge yourself.
Yeah.
What would I like if I was 22 again?
And I think for the children's department, our main challenge is with programs for tweens and teens, they are really reliant on an adult driving them here because a 12-year-old's not going to, you know, drive themselves. And sometimes even our teens don't have cars. They're not going to drive themselves. And so, you know, we may have the best of intentions and the most awesome program, but we have low attendance because none of them had rides. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, trying to hit that sweet spot of when they're available and have a ride and when to have the program, you know, that's always, you know, for every, you know, wave of kids that grows up, the next wave of kids that takes their place may have a totally different schedule. And we have a little learning curve trying to figure out what works for this group or that group. So that's kind of a challenge. But, you know, I think the adult department has more of a challenge with the larger amounts of age groups that they have to cater to. With children, a lot of it is easy. The parents are expecting to drive their 3 to 5 and 10-year-olds around. But when they get a little older,
they pick a part of their routine when they're younger, too.
Yeah,
once you get older, you have so many more options.
And more commitments.
And you know, it's always a challenge. Do we have this in the afternoon? You're going to hit this target audience. If you have it in the morning, you're going to hit this target audience. If you have it on weekends or evenings, you get a different group. The weather is dependent on a lot of things, too. So it's really hard to... It's like planning a party and then you hope people come.
Right. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, I will say I'm super excited about the dancing.
That one is taking off like crazy.
Yeah. People seem to really
So we have got that actually planned out through April so far. So
the first one is this Sunday.
Salsa dancing.
Yeah. And that's new. Is that like a
It is new. Event? It is new.
You have good ideas.
We do every now and then.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm so excited about it.
Appreciate you guys coming out. So until next time.
We'll see you later.
See you later.
Come to the library.
Come to the library.
Beyond the Bookshelves is a public library podcast produced by the Scott County Public Library in Georgetown, Kentucky. Your hosts are marketing manager Minyoung Bowling and media coordinator Ariel Reams. Editing is done by the marketing team with special assistance from the technology department of Scott County Public Library. Our theme is Happy Day by Stock Audios on Pixabay Music. If you want to learn more about the Scott County Public Library, you can visit our website at www.scottpublib.org. See you next time!